This is the Seahawkers Podcast, episode 368. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers, and joining me, my good buddy and Montana Seahawker, Adam Emmer.
Yeah, not any better today.
No.
Not any better today than it was a couple days.
It takes time. Gosh, what has it been, like 4 or 5 days?
Yeah.
What, you expected to be fine by now?
No, I'd kind of hope that the way, you know, Russ kind of handled things leaving and the way the team handled Russ leaving, and, you know, they'd all say kind of the right things and it would feel a little more like, okay, it's going to be fine. Drew Lock's our quarterback.
Don't say it three times. It might happen.
Yeah. And, you know, after both the team's reaction and Russ's reaction, and then the Bobby news, and then, you know, the stories coming out about him, like, it all feels a slightly ugly and a little acrimonious, and it's tough to swallow.
Oh, it feels gross. I mean, there's just, I mean, even with the Broncos and watching the AFC West load up, you know, Khalil Mack getting traded to the Chargers, it just shows you the type of competitive division that's going to be next year. It's going to make for fun football to watch over there, but yeah, it doesn't feel good right now. And scouting quarterbacks, like, that doesn't feel all that great. Losing Bobby, that news is probably, you know, I think I'm with a lot of fans on this, and listening to Seattle radio, some of the hosts seem surprised that fans were a little more upset about Bobby leaving versus Russ. Mm. And it's not that weird to me, because I think I'm in that camp.
Interesting. I mean, for me to put one over the other, I don't know that I really can.
Choose your favorite child, Adam.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Cam leaving hurt the most.
Yeah.
There you go. How about, that would be seriously out of that all, the whole Super Bowl run and everything, like, out of all the guys to have to hang him up or leave, Cam hurt the most to me. He was the one that I'd put above all the others. But yeah, equally tough for me, because Bobby being that leader on the defense, kind of the last anchor to that LOB mentality and all of that. Tough to see it happen. But also, none of us should be surprised. You weren't surprised. I was a little more surprised that they couldn't find a trade partner of some kind. But yeah, I mean, the second Russ goes, you know that Bobby's probably not staying.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's just, it hits differently, I think, for me, because, yes, Russ is the greatest quarterback in Seahawks franchise history. But Bobby is also that at his position. And on top of that, he's one of the top five middle linebackers in NFL history. So I think it's just where he lands among, yeah, the group of NFL players as a whole. I think that's what makes it just a little bit different for me.
Okay. I guess I look at them both as all-timers. And what else do you need to prove? And to me, that it's on equal footing. But yeah, and not only that, but the impact that Russ has on a team wins-loss-wise, as the quarterback does in this league, in this day and age, I think that's why it evens things out. Because if it was just simply the you know, all-time production as to their peers and at their position, then sure, yeah, I'd probably be with you. But the impact of quarterback play and the way that his quarterback play specifically, you know, just changed everything in the city and with the organization, added a whole other level of excitement and expectation and hope. And Bobby being one of the top five linebackers of all time just can't have that sort of impact on the game.
Yeah. And maybe it's just the way that Bobby's always carried himself too. Obviously he didn't go on his media tour after winning Walter Payton Man of the Year and have some complaints that led up to his release, but yeah.
Oh, look, if you want to talk about, you know, levels of classiness and things that I respect, you know, in one form or another, sure, yeah, I definitely put Bobby above Russ at this point. I feel like the last couple of years of Russ got a little weird in terms of his own head, his own ego, business. I had this thought last night while I was lying in bed, not being able to sleep because my quarterback's gone. And I started to wonder, like, you look at some of these quarterbacks that have moved to a second team later on in their career. I mean, whether that's been Brady or Montana or whoever, right?
Dave Craig.
Okay, fine. But I'm talking about maybe just a little bit more recently.
Okay.
Or Peyton Manning would be another good example.
Yeah.
How much more money do you think Peyton Manning makes because he ended up playing for two franchises in his career from merch sales? Because not only does he have the indie dudes buying all his gear and throwback, he's got all the Broncos fans that are buying his gear. Brady, there's a whole nother market he opened up in Tampa Bay buying his gear. They'll forever buy it in New England. Now, Russ, he gets to sell merch in two different markets now, too, for the rest of his career. Like, I think it's probably more lucrative business-wise to change franchises at a point where you can still be good and, you know, reel in that fan base.
Why don't you just go Kobe then and just change your number? And then you get two different numbers for your jerseys, too.
Oh, sure. I mean, you might as well. I mean, LeBron's changed back and forth between 6 and 23, like four times now or whatever. Yeah. I mean, you could. There's lots of different tricks, but you just expanded your audience, your base to, you know, who you can sell to. I wonder how much of this was business, because that's how it feels a little bit with Russ going over these last 3-4 years. He switched from being a football player to a businessman. And I'm not even mad at him for it. I mean, you gotta
make your money,
grow.
Hey, yeah, keep getting them checks, Russ.
Get your bread, man. Like, and if that's becomes more your priority, I can't be mad at you. But it did seem to kind of go that way. And yeah, monetarily, I think is really one of the bigger reasons why he might have done this.
I'm sure it plays into it. I mean, it obviously can't hurt. I mean, I take him at his word though, and that he wants to win championships,
multiple ones. You still do take him at his word?
I mean, at that word.
Well, I pray that I'm going to be a Seahawk for the rest of my career. This is where I've always wanted to be and where I wanted to end up.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is that as I've sat and thought about it, this feels more like Russ forcing his way out than Pete and John being like, okay, we're done with you. See you later. And he really wanted to stay.
Yeah, it's probably... Gosh, if I had to put a percentage to it, I'd probably put like between 60% and 70% over on Russ's side. I still think that there is, and actually, maybe it's even closer to 50-50. I've been trying to understand this move too. And yes, there's a part of it that's about Russ and his legacy, but I think there's a big part of it that it's about Pete and his legacy too. Because think about it from the Pete Carroll perspective. If you know, here he is, he's in his 70s, he's all about competition. He has everybody this offseason leading up to the season saying, oh, yeah, there's no way you get rid of Russ because Pete Carroll, he's in his 70s. There's no way he goes through another rebuild. That's been the talking point as to why this wouldn't happen, right? And, you know, Pete, he's absolutely about competition. Oh, I'll show them. You know, I can trade away the biggest quarterback in franchise history, rebuild, and take another team to the Super Bowl with the same franchise and a different QB. I mean, think about that. Has there ever been a coach that's done that? And usually they don't get the opportunity because, you know, once you lose your QB, then your team stinks and then it's time for a franchise to move on. Bill Belichick, he hasn't done it yet. So is he in a race now with Belichick to see who can go back to a Super Bowl with a different quarterback?
They both already lost George Seifert, so there's that.
Yeah, George Seifert. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's a true fact.
I guess I just associate Bill Walsh with Joe Montana and George Seifert with Young, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's how that went.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's the one guy, right?
I'm trying to think if there's any others. Well... Holmgren, well, it was two different franchises. Yeah,
I'm talking same franchise, different franchise quarterbacks.
I think you'd be correct then.
I think it'd have to be. Then maybe there's somebody we're forgetting, but.
Yeah, those odds seem low. I guess it's the always compete part that's pissing me off right now, because this isn't competing for next year or even the year after. Like, that's what makes me so angry. If I didn't feel like we were legitimately three to four players away from being an NFC championship team, then, you know, if we felt so far away from that, that, you know, it was just time to blow it up, then I guess I'd have been fine with this. But it really did feel like, to me, that a few players in the trenches away from being ultra competitive. I mean, the freaking 49ers were in the NFC championship game and we smacked them around twice, like they're little catfish, and played the Rams tough.
Yeah.
The eventual Super Bowl gift winners. So I just, we're right there. It wasn't that far away. So this had to come down to just people being freaking pissy about their stupid egos.
Well, and if you are thinking about legacy for Pete too, wouldn't he think that his best opportunity, look, winning a couple Super Bowls puts you in that conversation. I mean, he's already in that, having gone to a couple Super Bowls and building the LOB and that sort of thing. So I think that his best opportunity would have been with a franchise quarterback already on the team in Russ. So I'm having a hard time seeing an outcome where I end up being okay with this, because unless they see issues in the near term with Russell Wilson's finger causing accuracy problems, which I have a hard time believing after watching the skills competition that we watched.
Right.
Now, was he going to force his way out this offseason and, you know, was just going to even ramp it up more so than we saw last offseason? I suppose that could have been an option. If he wasn't going to force his way out, if his play for not moving on, if his play was going to suffer to the point where you can't win in the playoffs, and I don't know, I have a hard time with that too, because Russ doesn't seem like a guy who would shut it down because he's not happy.
Yeah, I guess what you're banking on, if you have him back this coming year, which we're not, is that his play and the play of the team would be enough to make a little run in the playoffs, whether that's all the way or just a playoff win or whatever it is, right? And if that's the case, good luck saying that you want out, you're on your way out, and give everybody the double birds. Like, that's going to be hard to do, especially for somebody as image conscious as Russ is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that seems unlikely. But the one thing that I do wonder about is, I think there are legitimate questions regarding, what Russell Wilson are you getting? Are you getting the one that's had some horrific half seasons now for two straight years? Or are you getting the good half of season from him? Like, Jared was texting me a picture of Russ in a Broncos jersey, and he's all giddy and all that. So I decided to do the only thing that I knew to do, and that was to start picking apart Russ and all of his flaws, and be sure to point it out in about 15 texts in response to every response that he's excited. You know, like, man, we're going to tear it up. We're going to be, you know, compete with Mahomes and all that. Like, we're going to the big dance, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's cool. We'll see if you can get past the cover two, or if Russ is just going to sit back there for 36 minutes, hold the ball, and then take a sack, and now you're in third and 26. Enjoy those, because those are coming. And, like, going down the line, like, I actually had a legit list of, you know, there's some catfish here.
Sure.
But the thing is that at the end of the day, he always played well enough in other areas to overcome those things. You just wonder at this age if he's kind of getting to the point where maybe he can't do that with the consistency that he once did. And so get out now while you can and sell high.
I suppose you do want to sell high, but I have a hard time believing that there's not at least three good years that the Broncos get of Russell Wilson. And I've gone through all those things in my head too, of, oh, the things that I don't like, of all the holding calls on the offensive line because Russ is standing back there holding the ball too long, or not checking it down when you want him to check it down, or watching some of these college guys film and seeing, you know, how they just drop back and throw it to the schemed open guy on multiple plays. Right. And it's like, oh yeah,
right.
You know, if all the Seahawks want is a quarterback that can do that, then I guess those guys are out there.
Well, yeah, that's what's been interesting. I think we both got deep into the quarterback stuff because it finally matters for us this year. And I got deep into the bag of that last night. And, well, I'm not done with my quarterback study. It is interesting that you put it that way, because there are a lot of guys out there that you look at, and you go, okay, most of them are kind of those lower tier starters to high tier backups at best. And yeah, maybe that's all Pete's looking for is just, hey man, we were real close with Geno. And if I can have somebody that just doesn't implode on the final drive of the game on these close games, we can be right there. And I can be playing the type of ball I want. And I've got all the headaches out of the room. And I don't have a celebrity quarterback. That's the only thing I can think.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of where I end up getting too. Because really, going back and thinking back to the last time that we went through something similar like this, the first Hawkpocalypse, as we coined it, when Sherman was gone, Bennett was gone, it kind of feels like another de-hooplification, only that it is Russ that's causing the hoopla.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it just shows you how much of a stranglehold on power Pete seems to have within the organization, too. If you ever had any wonders about that, those ought to be gone now.
Yeah, those are gone now.
Yeah.
Well, we were wondering who would win the power struggle, and we see the obvious winner now.
It's going to be an interesting offseason. We could be rolling with Drew Locke. I'm not sure that I saw anybody out of that draft class that I was like, oh yeah, they'd come in and they'd beat Drew Locke out. There are a bunch of guys where I was like, maybe.
It's funny because I would bounce back and forth. I would watch some college QB videos and then I'd watch some Drew Locke. Yeah, I don't see much of an improvement. They look just like dudes who can play pro quarterback, but yeah, and really it would come down to the type of personality in the last moments, which is why, you know, you wonder why Drew Locke was even part of the trade.
Because it was anti-clutching.
Well, I think there's something to the fact that they legitimately think that he's coming in to compete for a job.
Well, why not? I mean, you're making the trade. That's the best quarterback the Broncos could give you. So, sure, you'll take him.
Yeah, the worst case you end up is with a backup that has starting experience.
Or, you know, you use him as part of another trade package to bring in a different guy, a.k.a. Jordan Love, who, go back and watch his tape. He's 10 times more talented than freaking Locke. People panned me for this on the last podcast or whatever. There's a lot of people that just really hate Jordan Love. It's a lot like the way that people came out of the woodwork and went out of their way to hate Josh Allen. It's the same sort of thing. Yeah, I don't quite understand.
I don't get that sense of Love getting that same kind of attention.
Well, Love doesn't get the love. Trust me.
People, I feel like there's more indifference with Love.
I don't know. A lot of people that look at that Kansas City start and they just give him the what for, and it's like, dang, like if you watch that game, even Aaron Rodgers struggles against that defense that day. The way it is. But long story short, there's going to be some options, I guess, and we'll go from there.
Well, it was like a lot of people were panning Desmond Ridder, who is the Cincinnati quarterback, and he had a pretty rough game against Alabama. But if you go back and watch the tape of him against Alabama, it's not necessarily him. It's just the dudes on the defensive line. Like, well, except for the part that, you know, I think he had about 10 different passes batted down in that game. But, you know, they were just overmatched by the Alabama defense. So I think there's only so much stock that you can put into a loss like that. If your offensive line can't hold up, if your receivers just aren't as good.
Hey, I agree with you. If that was the only game and the majority of his other work looked like something else, but it doesn't.
Yeah. He had some other bad games.
Like pretty much all of them. He's new Paxton Lynch. Like he can only lock on to one dude. He stares him down every time. He's all over the map. He's wild as hell. He can't throw it into the ocean from the catfish beach, dude. No, thank you on Desmond Ridder. He's one of my least favorite dudes.
Really? Yeah. When I think of guys that when it was working well for him, it was drop back, hit your back foot, throw it to the open guy, and everything was fine. I mean, there was just
such inconsistency, though. There's a bunch of other guys that did that consistent, like far more consistent. He's a big guy. I'll give him that. He's a large human.
I think he's the biggest of the class in terms of, you know, the fit. I just feel like the prototypical guys, they always go, oh, yeah, oh, he's 6'4", and he has hand size of normal humans.
Yeah.
On the topic of quarterbacks, I know there's one guy who has to be extremely, extremely upset about this move with Russell Wilson. Seahawks quarterback coach Dave Canales.
Right. Yeah, his job just got a lot harder, didn't it?
Yeah. Do you think he had all his tee times scheduled out that he has to cancel now? Or do you think that they made this move in just enough time to where he hadn't quite made those tee times yet?
God, what a kick in the balls. From going from like a surefire stepping stone job to a next, you know, another bigger position to like, ah, crap. Now I got to deal with Drew Lock and whatever other undrafted dude comes in. Like, this is going to be hard.
Yeah. If you think your job is tough, just think about how tough Dave Canales has it after a week like this.
Yeah. Who was the assistant's quarterback coach? I remember because I said I wanted to be that guy because he held the clipboard to Dave Canales. Right. And like, that sounded even easier. He might actually have to think about things.
Shoot, he might be playing quarterback for us.
Yeah. I just don't know what you do for this year. I really don't. I mean, I guess roll Drew Lock, or because is Minshew really an upgrade? He's more fun.
He's more
Minshew's
fun.
A lot more fun. I mean, it just all depends on what you hope for out of this year. Like, if you want to be competitive again this year, well, then, I mean, that means you might do some things that are morally questionable. If you are, you know, somebody who's just hoping for the third pick in the draft that you can parlay into a dude next year, then no, screw it. Roll Drew Lock or trade him off for even worse.
I just have a hard time, based on everything that we've heard from Pete about competition, and how does this play with the veterans in the locker room then?
Well, that's a good question.
I would think that there's a credibility issue that he's going to have to face if they don't field a team that at least feels competitive.
Well, who are the veterans that you'd be worried about on that front at this point?
Tyler
and Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of guys who are too young to really say much of anything, and or
guys on their way out like Dunlap.
Yeah. Or league average guys, the best, you know.
Well, your free agents that you're trying to get to stay.
Well, exactly. Are you trying to get them to stay now? Like, that's the thing. I mean, at this point, do you go full blow up, or do they try to cobble together something and end up at 8 wins and all of this was for naught anyways?
I don't even like the idea of releasing Tyler Lockett, because I feel like he is such a big part of the culture of the locker room of, you know, this is a guy that you want to keep so he can continue to instill those types of things in the locker room. I'd have a hard time even taking and being content with a third round pick for Tyler.
Yeah, I think especially if you're going to have a young guy playing quarterback too, and you're trying to get him developed and bring him up, you're going to need at least one guy like Tyler to be the Doug Baldwin to him. You know what I mean?
Right.
A guy with just a little bit more experience than you do, a real polished pro, one of the best to do it that nobody recognizes, and isn't going to be out there upstaging you and telling you that he was open all day and all of that stuff.
But on those same lines, with DK, how long has Pete looked for a guy like him, finally gets him, and then would you trade him away? I don't know if I'd be into that either.
I mean, I don't know if you're a quarterback away from competing right now. I don't know where this team is.
Okay, maybe there's the right package. If you're getting two first round picks for DK, then maybe you do.
Well, that's what makes me wonder so much about Jamal Adams.
I don't think he's tradable at this point. And I think that,
oh, everybody's tradable. Well, it's just what are you willing to take back? Right. Like, he barked his way out of New York because he was playing on a crap team, and rightfully so. And what you think that just because he got paid last year,
he's not going to be content if he's now finds himself all of a sudden on a crap team.
Right. So then what do you get for Jamal Adams? You get what, a second at best?
I don't even think that with the way that you're paying him.
Uh-huh. That stings.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. This is honestly the timing of this Russell Wilson catfishing trade is so piss poor that strategically it makes it almost impossible to move forward, even with the draft picks. I'd rather had less of a package for Russ and done this next year than throw away this year when you have enough pieces around to make one final run or try at it and then reboot and reset when it makes a lot more sense for everybody involved. And the timing of this is such trash. It's such trash. It's a year too early. Because if it all works out this year, if it all had worked out this year, maybe you run it back one more. And then at that point, that's, you know, Bobby's about done. Sure, you know, you kind of probably got the 80% out of Russ that you're going to get. You know, it all feels like Russ is going somewhere for the latter stages of his career rather than like, you know, the better part of the second half of his career. Bobby's ready to be done and move on. Maybe at that point, you know, you tag DK and then trade him. Tyler's getting to the end of his deal. Jamal Adams is midway through his deal. So where the cap hit isn't so bad, you can get rid of him. Just the timing of this sucks so catfishing bad.
Canales at least gets one good year of playing golf during the offseason.
How else is his handicap going to go from a 12 to a 4? How else?
How else?
What about Dave Canales, people, in his golf game? He needs to work on his short game badly. And like that takes time that he doesn't have now. He'll be coaching up Drew freaking Locke.
I have a hard time wondering what would hurt more, because some of the reports are is that already Bobby has talked to the Dallas Cowboys. Like seeing Bobby in a Cowboys uniform or seeing Russ in a Broncos uniform, at least with Bobby, it's not an NFC West team, I think.
If he went to the Rams, that'd be devastating.
And he's not going to the Niners because they got Warner.
Now, I can tell you this, like, even if Bobby went to Dallas, that'd be fine. At this point, for Bobby, it's kind of like, dude, do the best for you, man. Whatever works out the best. If you want to chase the ring, go chase the ring. If you want to sign somewhere, you know, get paid for the last couple of years to be a mentor, then go do that. Whatever it is, I'm 100% on board with you, man. I'm not even mad for 2 seconds. Now, with Russ and Denver, my hatred for Denver has slowly eroded ever since we changed conferences and went from the AFC West back to the NFC West, to the point now to where they're a fellow Rocky Mountain, you know, Northwest kind of team that I'd rather see them do well than say, I don't know, Indy or, you know, Miami or whatever. Like, I'd rather see the Broncos do well than most of those other teams just because they're kind of a little bit more regional.
Yeah.
So I hurt a little less to see Russ in the Broncos uniform just on the sports hatred side of the team. But in terms of just seeing Russ gone because people couldn't talk correctly amongst each other and like clear the air about freaking egos. Yeah, that will hurt forever, man. That part of it hurts more.
Yeah, I'm still trying to shake out of where the blame ultimately lands. I don't know.
I don't know that it much matters.
It doesn't matter.
I think we can all just agree at the end of the day, this is freaking stupid. And it feels poorly executed. A lot like releasing Bobby and apparently not telling him.
Yeah, another thing that has... Okay, so with Bobby, I feel like it's one thing if a dude has an agent and you're communicating with the agent. And so I feel like the agents end up having all these relationships with the reporters to where things could end up getting leaked out in between the communication between the teams, the agent and the players. Bobby Wagner's his own freaking agent. And So there couldn't have been a moment from when the decision was made within the front office of the Seahawks to have that conversation with Bobby before any of those other conversations happened? How does that happen? How does Bobby Wagner not find out about his release directly from the team before finding it out through the media? I have a hard time understanding this.
I think in today's day and age that maybe these GMs and coaches have to take a certain mindset when they go in and make these decisions in a course of action to try to get ahead of this stuff, because it's so lightning quick that it gets out, goes around a room, and then there's that one guy who knows the one guy who talks to the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's out in a matter of an hour after you making the decision, right?
I feel like that's an hour that you could have shot Bobby a call.
Yes. Okay. So exactly. This is what I'm saying, changing their mindset. Like when you and Pete sit down, if you're John Schneider, to have this discussion about Bobby, okay, we did the Russ deal. I'm thinking we should probably release Bobby. Yep. I think we should release Bobby. You guys should be on the same page in that moment to then pick up the phone at that point and right. give him a call directly. Like give zero lag time. So you don't get behind this like they did. And how were they able to keep the Russ stuff in house, but not Bobby's release?
Well, I do wonder where the Russ news, if that was coming more from, again, there's an agent side there, because it was not long after the Aaron Rodgers contract news that the news about Russ broke. Right. So I wonder if how much of that was, oh, Aaron broke his news. Oh, this will be fun. How about we call it out, make sure and let folks know now that I'm taking the deal. And even before it was finalized in terms of him being there for the physical, let's just own this news day now that Aaron got his news out.
Maybe some of that comes from a little bit of jealousy, because it seems as if that the Broncos are waiting for Aaron's decision before they pulled the trigger on this trade. I think they would have rather traded for Aaron Rodgers than Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm the Broncos.
Just the timing of it speaks to it.
Oh, there was something going on based on the timing, whether it was right. Russ wanting to get over on Aaron. I don't believe the Broncos for a second that Russ was their first choice. I don't believe that the Broncos were his only choice if he was going to go somewhere. Yeah, I don't believe any of those ideas.
Yeah, it's just
and the
it's
timing still of it was funky. So
the timing of it was funky. And yeah, it's so funny how much my emotions will roll on throughout a day here over these last couple of days to, you know, being like, well, okay, new era, here we go. Let's start looking at stuff to like, you know, catfish all these guys and why couldn't they just make it work to screw the Broncos? I hope, you know.
I hope they win three games next year against, let's see, I don't know, the Niners, the Rams, and the Cardinals. Those are the three games they can win.
There you go.
Ugh. Jerv writes in, says, we're screwed. Hope we don't make the playoffs the next 2 years so that Pete is fired and we can move on from this era. It was supposed to be Pete gone and Russ stays. Russ was the reason we were relevant and able to make the playoffs the last several years since the Super Bowl. Pete is a defensive head coach. They have been throwing money and draft picks at the defense for years for crap results. I'm rooting for Russ for winning two ships with Denver. But I will bleed blue and green forever. This franchise is catfished. Go Hawks from Jerv.
Yeah, well, Jerv, I agree with you for the next year, if not two, that we're a little screwed. Now, where I vehemently disagree with you is I most certainly do not root for the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson to win two more chips. Absolutely freaking not.
I mean, unless they're playing the Niners or Rams in both of those games.
Yeah. Yep, that's where I would go. It's like, you know, Satan's championship this year, you know, Niners and Rams, and then realizing by the second quarter that I was kind of, I guess, pulling for the Niners to not suck, as opposed to wanting the Rams to implode. So I hated the Rams more.
Right.
If I saw that Super Bowl, I'd probably be rooting for us and the Broncos. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes for some difficult life choices. I mean, this is another inflection point in franchise history that will tell you, you know, a lot like the play that shall not be talked about. It tells you where your fandom lies. You know, people who were devastated by the Super Bowl loss, we heard from them how they didn't even know how much of a Seahawks fan they were until they felt the devastation of that loss. And so if you look at this moment and say, well, I guess I'm a Broncos fan now, then you were more of a Russell Wilson fan than a Seahawks fan. And that's just, you know, in that moment that's where your fandom is.
Yeah. And it seems to be a little bit generational, too. It seems as if folks who are younger, because of the way that all the players are their own brand and doing their own thing, are more of a fan of individual players than they are specific franchises. I think it's just changed in the era of social media that you get lashed. Like, the NBA is really bad. I feel like it
probably is more that way with the NBA.
It is a little generational. At least it seems to be to me. Because there are definitely people who have come out and been like, well, okay, well, I guess I'm rooting for the Broncos now. And hey, man, if that's where your fandom lies, it's fine.
If that's how you enjoy the game, then enjoy it in the way that you do.
Right. I just know not to count on you in loyalty because you obviously don't know where to put it. But that's all right. It's all right. It's a free country.
Right. Well, we did get some responses throwing out the question of what didn't you like about Russ. And again, from the perspective of after there's a bad breakup, you evaluate the things that you like, the things that you don't like.
And trash them.
You trash them on the way out the door because you talk to your friends and say, I'm not going to miss this at all. And it helps make you feel better about you and your situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Jonathan Marker writes in, says, good luck, Broncos. Line holding calls are going to be flying.
Yeah. Get ready for scribble plays that don't work anymore because you're two steps slower than you were a few years ago.
Smell you later says, not going to miss the robotic press conferences. Same old every time. Not going to miss listening to those.
Yeah. Why not you?
Linebacker 54 says, what qualities do I not want from my QB1? Definitely not going 3 and out for 3 quarters, 6 years straight.
Yeah, there's some bad stretches these last couple years. It does make you wonder which Russell Wilson you're getting going for the Broncos.
Dave Bloomquist comes in. This is a pretty exhaustive list. I think we're going to hit on everything here.
Okay.
Day after thoughts. Number one, I have loved the draft since my elementary school years. I look forward to caring about one for the first time in years. And that's true. We have that to look forward to. Kind of. Hopefully.
If you say so.
Here's the thing about the draft, though. I know a lot of people have been kind of bagging on Pete and John. Oh, they can't hit in the first round because, you know,
they haven't picked above 20 in ever.
Yeah. Look at all of their picks, 15 and higher, and they've picked dudes who have done multiple years of contracts on the team. So top 15, they've nailed it in the draft.
Right. Now, should you have a little better record at the bottom end of the first? Sure.
Probably.
But it's not nearly as surefire as people make it out to be. There's no doubt about that.
So, yeah, I'm interested to see where they go. Maybe they still trade down. I mean, trading out of 9 and picking up a couple more picks, if you're getting another second rounder in a draft like this, probably wouldn't hurt, especially if you're not taking quarterback. Or having those 2 picks toward the top of the second round, that might be a good spot to pick a quarterback.
No, I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. I mean, after going through and looking at these dudes, I don't know that there's one I would spend a first round pick on. I don't think there is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So maybe top a second.
Yeah, but
if let's you're say sold on a guy.
I mean, the only two that I think people would see consensusly that way is either Pickett or Willis.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I'd even spend a high second on that. Spend a third on one of those guys? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But
they aren't going to be around in the third, though.
No, because somebody's going to overspend.
Oh, they always do. You have to.
Yeah. I think there's a whole handful of dudes in that 5th to 7th round or even undrafted that you could bring in 2 of them and, you know, just go for other positions, but build in the lines, build in the lines, man, trenches all the way and go from there because none of these guys are like Kenny Pickett. He's probably the best of them all.
Yeah.
And he's top end Baker Mayfield. Like that's his top end.
Sure.
And I don't think that he's better than Baker.
And he's probably not going to slip to the second round.
Wow.
Don't you think? Somebody will take Pickett higher than the top of the second round?
Somebody probably will. Yeah. There's no way I would.
Oh, I could see the Saints doing it pretty easily.
Yeah. I mean, if you're into Baker Mayfield light, then cool.
I
mean,
at this point, I'd take Baker over Drew Lock.
Maybe. He's a small upgrade over Drew Lock. Drew Lock and Baker Mayfield are both anywhere from the worst QB in the league to the 20th. Like, you can put him in that tier.
Yeah, I have him at a higher tier than that, but yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, if you ask me, would I rather have Kirk Cousins or Baker? then I would struggle a little bit.
No, that one's easy. I'd take.
Yeah, I know you would.
He's the 15th best quarterback in the league.
I think I would take Baker over Kirk.
Well, then you would be wrong.
That's just me. All right. Back to the day after thoughts from Dave Bloomquist, Hong Kong Hawk.
Oh, right.
Number two, Russ was given a chance to be the man in 2021. He was above average at best. Going back to the run game at the end of the season prevented us from finishing 4-13. Not Russ.
There's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. And then, yeah, 2 years in a row, they kind of had to take the reins back from Russ, so to speak, and get back to their roots to start winning football games, right?
Number three. Come on. This is, I don't know if Dave would have said this before Russ went on. Russ is a cheesy robotic nerd that was hard to like between the creepy bedroom voice and the incessant God Squad Twitter posts.
Yeah, exactly. And always happy all the time. Like sometimes just be a little pissy. Be a little frustrated with things and let that emotion out.
Yeah, publicly. Yeah, don't always put on the happy face every time. We know you're not like that all the time.
Yeah, just wait to plug in and recharge your robot battery before you get to the podium, okay? Like, don't let us see the cord. Like, yeah, it's just, there definitely came a point where the Russisms were just like, all right, yep, got it, for sure. I remember the press conference when, like, well, I throw a lot of those for touchdowns, too, when he got us out of field goal range. Then it made your face melt off. Uh-huh. Yeah. Remember that?
I do remember that very vividly. Yeah. Number four, let's be clear. The defense won Super Bowl 48. The defensive injuries lost Super Bowl 49.
There's a lot to that.
There's a lot to it, but look, they're not in those games without some of those throws by Russ.
Oh, yeah. It was 50-50. It was a team effort. Yeah.
I mean, I think of the NFC Championship, and neither of those games, they don't win without Russ.
That's exactly true.
But yeah, the defense did win Super Bowl 48. Five, Russ couldn't throw screens or fades. He was an all-timer for 95 yards, but a jag for five.
Look, the not being able to hit a check down, not being able to hit a screen, not being able to hit a quick slant with any sort of regularity, like that got real freaking old.
It was frustrating.
Yeah.
Number six.
And never stepping up into the pocket, always doing the drift back.
Oh, he stepped up into the pocket. It wasn't always
never drift back. Never. He always did it. It was annoying.
Number six. He threw the worst interception in NFL history. I'll never forgive that.
Yeah, I can't hold him responsible for that one. Never have. Never will. That was somebody else's play call on a play that everybody that you've talked to in the professional realm of football have all said, 99.9% of the time that play works.
I just hate that we had to live through the 0.09% where it doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
And really 0.001 where it's the worst case scenario. Because why couldn't it have just been an incomplete pass?
Right. And on top of all that, why didn't you just give the ball to Marshawn?
Number seven. He's 33-34 at the beginning of the 2022 season. He's going to demand $50 million when he's 36. No, thank you.
Yeah, well, you could have gotten rid of him when he was 36 and burned that bridge when he got there. So, like, I don't care about that one.
Franchise tag if you want to. You had that capability.
Yeah.
Number eight. I've always said I'll happily take 1 to 2 years of bad to rebuild into a powerhouse again. Russ's salary prevented building the team we needed to compete. Both of our lines have stunk since 2015. Drafting in the late 20s has kept blue chippers out of our reach. Good to have money and draft capital again.
Yeah, well, Dave has always been team blow it up far before I'm team blow it up. Mm-hmm. I wanted one more year.
Yeah.
Dave would have blown it up 4 years ago. So I guess take your pick there. I think the timing of this sucks. And it really, like having that Broncos pick this year, I can't wait to be the new Broncos and be able to pick Bradley Chubb or Patrick Surtain instead of Josh Allen or Justin Fields because they just don't exist in this draft.
Right.
That sucks.
Well, Well, he said he'd take 2 years of bad, but the problem is,
I know Dave, he would. I don't like 2 years of bad.
Well, the thing is that 2 years of bad can turn into 10 and 15 years of bad just as easily.
Like that. So, like that.
If I knew it was only going to be 2 years of bad, okay, I'll be on board with you.
Yeah.
I just don't want it to be 10.
No.
Number 9. This is not sour grapes. Some of these feel like sour grapes, Dave.
And that is fine.
This is reality.
Catfish! And right. The best kind of grapes are sour ones.
Just own it. Some of this is sour grapes. And, you know, yeah. we have that right as the losing team in this trade to have some sour grapes and eat them and enjoy them.
Exactly. This is where sports hate just comes from. This is where it breeds.
This is reality. Russ didn't want us, and Princess Pete needs to have the power. We would have had the same high expectations for a likely 8-9 team in 2022, 2023, 2024 if he stayed.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
Right. Well, I think we are more on the Fire Pete train than the Fire Russ train.
I was more on the keep them all train.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And get, you know, a couple defensive tackles, maybe an end, a guard, and a center, and then let's go.
Yeah, I'm saying that if you had to choose, though.
That would have been what I would have chosen.
I know, but if that option wasn't on the table.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about options, is that they're all on the table at all times. We only take them off the table for ourselves.
This was the least desirable option, and this is the one that we got.
Right. Yeah, but it was an option, and they chose it.
So now that we're through the sour grapes, we're probably not through with it. I mean, we're through with it for this episode.
Oh, no, there's going to be some press conferences between now and the start of the season from Russell Wilson that we are going to trash. There's going to be a few performances in a Broncos uniform that we are going to trash. I'll probably point and laugh at a little bit.
Uh-huh.
It's just sports hate, man. It's got to, you got to have it.
Add another team to the sports hate list.
Well, resurrect them to the sports hate list.
Right. But instead of like NFC West watch list, it'll be Russell Wilson, did he suck this week watch list.
Well, and then you're going to have the same stories like the, well, who won the breakup, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick stories, right?
Well, we'll get to deal with those.
Yeah.
So of the quarterbacks, or do you want to get to the second half of the show and talk about it there?
Yeah, we can do that. Do you want to go through a few of the quarterbacks?
Yeah. Let's talk about that coming up next.
All right, cool.
As we get into the second half of the show, Dalton V via YouTube writes in, says, never ever would I give anything higher than a sixth for Love.
Well, some people don't know how to judge quarterbacks, so
there you go, Dalton.
I just don't see, like, that guy. I mean, and I don't believe whatever he wants, and that's cool, and I like that he calls me out and all that, and so I'm just gonna come back at him hard, because that's the only way I know how to do. You're wrong, and the reason is that most people, they believe in narratives rather than film. And so the narrative is, oh, Jordan Love's been terrible in all the practices and he can't play and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, okay. Do you think that if Aaron Rodgers had not played at an MVP level for the last two seasons in a row, that he'd still be the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love wouldn't be starting? Like, if his game had slipped at all, like it had looked like it was going in that direction.
Right, which is why they moved up to take a quarterback in the first place.
That's right. So you're mad at Jordan Love because he can't beat out MVP level Aaron Rodgers. Who could beat him out in camp right now? Who could? Maybe three guys?
Yeah, nobody.
Right. So, like, you're just reading headlines and not watching what he's actually done. And we don't have a lot to go off of in the NFL, but the little bit that we do have, he held his own for a guy who had never started a freaking NFL game before in his life. And he's trash, and I wouldn't give more than a sixth. You're smoking stuff, because there's going to be people who are giving first for quarterbacks in this draft that are far less talented than Jordan Love, like far less talented.
I don't understand why that is. I mean, the Commanders gave up 2/3 for Carson Wentz.
Well, I didn't hear what the compensation was. I'd been curious.
Yeah, I think it was 2/3. So, and I think we talked about on the last show that we'd rather have Wentz than Locke. Although I don't think I would have wanted to give up 2/3. It was more of, you know, if there was a trade to be had and you could get him as part of the package, then yeah, you'd rather have him than Locke. But yeah, I would have been upset if the Seahawks would have given up 2 third-round picks for Wentz because he's not you're not going to win any more games with him than Drew Lock. Maybe one, yeah, but that's not where the franchise is now at this point. You're not going to be a playoff contending football team with Carson Wentz. We've learned that over the years now.
Yes, exactly. And well, he's got to be worth more than Jordan Love, right? And it's like, well, there's actually a lot of unknown with Jordan Love yet. A lot of script to be written by watching him play, seeing him in maybe a different offense, given all the reps. I mean, yeah. You know what a selfish bastard Aaron Rodgers is. Do you think he's helped Jordan Love one lick
or not
gives
up
any reps to help him develop?
No way.
Oh, the catfish? No, there is no way. There is no way.
Would you give up 2/3 for Jordan Love?
Yeah, done today. Done.
I wonder how the ranking goes for the other QBs that are on the table, because you have obviously Jimmy G, but it's not like the Seahawks are going to trade for him. And even if the Niners wanted to trade you Jimmy G, then it would be a mistake to trade for him, because trading within the division never happens unless you want bad things to happen to your opponent.
It generally doesn't happen. It's happened a couple times, but yeah. And on top of all of that, Jimmy G is, again, a middle-of-the-road guy. You can get a possible middle-of-the-road guy as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, why pay $25 million for a middle-of-the-road guy?
Yeah, that's where, like, giving Dak Prescott a huge contract at the end of his first one, I just wouldn't have done it. I just wouldn't have done it. Wherever Kirk Cousins is in your mind, like, he's just the one slot above him, right? Just a hair more mobile.
Yeah.
And a
hair more clutch.
Okay. Yeah, to this point. But we haven't seen, if he is more clutch, it's not by much.
After the injury, we didn't see him have all that many opportunities. So, yeah. But I think of Dak as a more clutch guy.
I don't know why. There's no evidence for that.
Trubisky, I guess, is one of the other names being thrown around.
Yeah, that's a hard no thanks. We saw Captain Computer try to play quarterback there in Chicago. The guy cannot turn his brain off and get out of his own way. He needs to have a little more Brett Favre in him. Like, who gives a
catfish?
Like, is the guy open or not? That's what Trubisky needs.
Are there any other current NFL guys that are being discussed as potentially on the move other than that group?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you could think about things. Do you think the Giants would make a trade for Daniel Jones? Probably. Would Commanders are there with Wentz.
Tyrod Taylor, I guess, is another one who would be an option.
I liked Tyrod. I'd take a little T-Mobile for a year. Just because, I mean, right now it's kind of getting to the point to where, all right, we're going to suck next year. Can you bring in a dude that I could root for? How about the beard? Can we bring in Fitzmagic for a year? I'm dead serious. It would just be fun. Like, it's not about winning at this point. You're going to be losing a lot of games. So let's have some fun while we do it.
Yeah. Minshew or Fitzmagic. Those would be a couple of the fun guys.
Right.
And Jameis might even be fun.
No. No. He's just weird, dude. He's got a weird vibe to him.
He's a little weird.
Yeah. Not that I'm not. It's just, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Fitzpatrick's weird, but
Fitzpatrick is cool as catfish.
For the nerds, yeah. Like, that's your nerd idol.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I can also play, borderline starting quarterback in the NFL plus go to Harvard. And I can grow this beard. Like, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, Fitzmagic is a lot of fun. I'd take a year of Fitzmagic to mentor somebody. Sure.
Yes, everybody would. I mean, that's been his job the last 8 years in the NFL.
Yeah, he's awesome at it. Those would be kind of the guys that would move the needle a little bit for me this year.
But I hate having this conversation. This sucks.
It's just like, it just reminds me so much of, and it was before we started the podcast, but having all of the Matt Flynn discussions and the guys of that ilk from that era, like, who's better? Oh, I've heard a couple of people suggest trading for Matt Ryan. I mean, never, ever, ever.
Unless Atlanta was going to pay all of his salary for the next 2 years.
And even then, why? So you can go 6-11?
I feel like Drew can go 6-11.
And it would be more fun.
Well,
Drew Lock's at least a chucker.
Right.
Like, there's some fun in that. There is. Right. And then that makes me wonder, how do those guys compare to any of these young cats coming out of the draft, you know?
I think that's what we want. I've watched a little bit of games here and there. I haven't watched any of Corral yet.
Oh, okay. I can save you some time.
Just don't watch him?
You can. He's fine. I mean, Matt Corral. All right. So we'll go from Willis down here. And this is how most people have him ranked. And I don't know that I'm going to rank him in any order this year. You know, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag, but just like guys who I think are more likely to be able to do something to guys who won't.
You will finish with your rankings, Adam. You must do that. It's too early to have them ranked right now.
Right. Okay. Malik Willis, he's an uber athlete. There's no doubt about that. He's got a hose. I mean, he can put some zip on it and all that. He reminds me of Randall Cunningham, the way that he moves.
Oh, yeah, I could see that a little.
But he throws closer to Vince Young and maybe worse.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where you're at with him. And I don't know that there's ever coaching that into consistency. Like, he's so, so raw. To me, anything more than a late second for him is a massive overpay, because he's not going to see the field for 3 years.
He was one of the ones that I looked at, and I just didn't see a pro throwing quarterback.
No, not yet, at the very least. He might be able to develop it, but it's a long ways off.
Yeah, and when you're taking the 9th pick overall, I'm not interested in a couple of years he might be, because then you're in Trey Lance territory.
Right. Oh, 100%. And at least maybe you're not trading away multiple firsts for it.
Right.
I mean, that would be the only upside there.
And you know what? I dogged him a little bit for being a Liberty quarterback. I didn't realize he was an Auburn transfer. So technically SEC caliber, but transferred to Liberty.
Okay.
That matters to me. Okay.
Hey, if it does, it does. I don't worry about level of competition too much when I'm looking at these guys. I just want to see them do quarterback things, uh-huh. Right? And how efficiently they do it. So the next guy would be like Kenny Pickett. After going back and watching about 4 or 5 games of Kenny Pickett, I was a little harsh on him in the other couple podcasts where I was just like, oh, hell no. But yeah, he's the same kind of mobile as Baker, where in college, it gets him out of some jams. But in the NFL, that ain't going to fly. It isn't going to fly. He's just not fast enough.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not tiny. Like, he's built pretty well. Like, his lower base is pretty strong, actually. He has stretches of nice play. And then he's got some just unbelievable head scratchers where you're like, how did we miss that? How did, like, I don't get it.
So if he was one of those guys, though, because he was the one that measured with the 8.5-inch hands. And so everybody's dogging on him for having little tiny baby hands.
Yeah.
I just wonder if he could be one of those guys that slips into the first half of the second round based on hand size, and where you go, oh, okay, well, this isn't a bad spot to take him.
Who actually gives a catfish shit about the hand size
thing? I think there's a lot of NFL GMs that do.
Well, then they're stupid. I mean, I'm dead serious. Like, if it was the 15th thing on your list of things that you're looking for, you're like, okay, I got to here and I'm still a little undecided. He fumbled a fair amount and he's got small hands. Okay, I guess I'm out. Like, but if it's like the 3rd thing on your list, well, he's only got 8 3/8-inch hands. He can't possibly throw a football, even though I just watched him throw it, you know, 500 times on tape in the rain and in the wind and all that. Like, yeah, those hands just too small.
Well, hey, some GMs look at things as an automatic disqualifier. GMs used to look at 5'11 as an automatic disqualifier. If you aren't 6 foot or taller, then you were not qualified to play NFL quarterback. And so I could see that being one of those threshold measurements where there's GMs that say, he's off my board.
Maybe. I think that line of thinking is freaking stupid. I think most of this ends up being a lot about measurables and all this stuff, right? Instead of just watching them play football.
Right.
Because there's some numbers here that don't line up at all. Like Matt Corral, a bunch of these other guys that we're going to talk about coming up here, they all ran about the same 40, and you watch them on tape, and there's no way that they ran the same 40.
Well, like Ritter, I think he ran a 4.5, but
yeah,
again, it's like the Baker Mayfield type scramble ability. Like you're not getting away from NFL defensive linemen at that kind of speed.
Yep, exactly.
Whereas with Malik Willis, it's a different kind of, he has a different gear.
He's got a different Cunningham, just that plastic man kind of thing that where you can kind of bend around a little bit. In a way that other guys don't.
Did you see the play where he got hit by the defensive lineman, looked like a 300-pound defensive lineman, and just bounced off of him and spun and like kept going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That part of his game is exciting. Yeah, it's fun to watch. Yeah. But Kenny Pickett, again, I think his ceiling is Baker Mayfield light, 25th best quarterback in the league. And that's that. There's just, he doesn't make any throws. There weren't any real wow throws that you saw that you went, oh, you know, like you see out of some of, or wow plays. Like when Lamar was in college, there were plays where you're just like, wow, that is amazing. Yeah. You just don't see that.
Well, there's nobody. It was like Zach Wilson in last year's draft, or, you know, Justin Fields.
Oh, sure.
I mean, those guys had those throws in them.
And not that you have to have that to be a successful quarterback, but that's the difference between being a playmaker and a manager. And that's kind of what we're talking about
here. Pete might just want a game manager at this point.
Exactly. And so that leads us to Matt Corral a little bit. Watched a bit of him. You had told me, because I hadn't watched anything, that he was more frail than Kyler. I don't think so.
It's just the pictures of him. He looks slight. But I had this conversation with EJ Snyder. And he's like, dude, he's like 6'2", he's 210, he's a fine size.
Yeah, and he runs like Trey Lance ran for North Dakota, and he won't last long in the league that way. He relied on it way too much. He's basically Tua.
Okay.
He's kind of the exact same guy. He's awesome on slants and outs. He has good pocket presence. He can move around a little bit, but he's not, you know, a game breaker as a runner. He seems to have really good leadership. The guys seem to really rally around him. He can get to a second and third read with some consistency, playoff script a little bit, but he's not great at it. The big thing with him is it gets much past 15 yards, and just watch every one of the balls that he throws past there and they just die. Mm. He's got no arm deep, none. He cannot. You would just play everything 15 yards and shorter, pack especially the middle of the field.
That's not fun. Pete wouldn't be into that.
No. He's a massive game manager. No, could he come in and win you 2 out of 3 games as your backup quarterback? You bet your ass he could.
Yeah, I feel like if Pete and John are going to use a draft pick, though, it's going to be a guy who has a deep ball.
I would think so. Hey, so, yeah, Matt Corral is out for me.
And I think Willis had a deep ball. I think he was one of the higher rated deep ball throwers.
What, just on arm strength?
I've been looking at some of the PFF grades for the numbers on big time throw percentage. I don't know if they have those metrics dialed in yet.
They do not.
Yeah.
They do not. So next guy that I kind of ended up looking at was Desmond Ridder. Look, man, he's a big athletic dude. He has no clue what's going on around him in the pocket. Like, he is so like oblivious to guys coming off the edge and things like that. It's not even funny. He is 100% a lock on to one dude and throw it to that one dude or run guy. There's no looking through anything.
Yeah, for the little bit of film that I watched of him, I definitely saw the lock on. Because I kept waiting. I was like, is he ever going to just hold the ball and go through like and hit like his second or third read? You never saw that.
No.
Or at least not in the amount that I watched was limited probably compared to you.
Yeah, he's super inconsistent in his arm strength is average to maybe slightly below average. Like he does not have a gun. And one of the things that really stood out about his tape is he might go to prison if he plays in the NFL because he was straight up trying to get his dudes murdered on the field right and left. He threw dudes into some huge hits. Just didn't see it. I mean, it happened so many times as you go through his film, you're like, damn, do you just hate your teammates? I mean, because he tried to get guys killed.
At least when he throws the football, he looks like a real NFL thrower, though.
In terms of the motion?
Yeah. I didn't get that sense with Willis.
No, he's got that long, whippy Randall Cunningham motion.
Yeah. See, most of the people listening, they don't even remember Randall Cunningham. So,
oh, well, they're going to love my next comp then.
This guy's a lot like Johnny Unitas.
Oh, here you go. So the next guy I looked at was Carson Strong, kid from Nevada. Big dude. I don't know. I think if you threw him in the ocean, he would just sink directly to the floor because of the concrete boots that he wears. He is a catfish statue, dude. But he can't move a lick. Can't move a lick. But he's got a gun, man. And he's just calm, cool, collected. Nothing rattles this dude. His pocket presence is pretty good, and he can wiggle around the pocket a little bit. But again, he's got lead feet. He's not outrunning anybody. He throws into tight, tight windows and doesn't give a rip about it. He'll just rip them in there. And in college, it seemed to work out more than it did. It got him into trouble now and then, but it's got a real smooth, easy release to him.
Let me see if I can pick the comp. Oh, it's you a finish. Little slow. You finish. I'm going to try and pick the comp based on your description.
Oh, you're never going to get it. But he sees the field real well. He gets through his reads real well. His deep ball is really good. He drops some stuff into the bucket. You're just like, oh, wow. Like, he had a couple of real wow deep throws where just dropped it pinpoint in the bucket. That was pretty amazing. Just no conscience throwing the ball. He's a chucker extraordinaire. Like, he's going to throw picks in the league, like, when he gets out there. I don't know how he'd get under center. I think he'd get so tied up on his own feet that, like, I just don't think that you could play him under center at all. I really don't. But he's kind of fun to watch. He's probably got the best arm talent, I would say, out of all these dudes in this draft. He's an old school guy. And honestly, he reminds me of Dan Fouts from back in the day.
I was going to guess Jeff George.
Oh, no, Jeff George is a lot more mobile. Okay. Yeah, a lot more mobile. A more modern reference I thought of was Joe Flacco.
I thought Jeff George would have been a fun reference that nobody would understand, but probably you're right, too, with Dan Fouts.
Yes, absolutely.
They only know him as announcer Dan Fouts.
Oh, hey, speaking of Ritter back earlier when we were talking about him,
yeah.
Every so often when I'm watching these tapes, there's one dude that pops out on the screen and you're like, wow, that guy's really good in that you weren't planning on. You didn't know who he was. Right. He just pops off the screen. They have a receiver named Alec Pierce. He's a big ass wide receiver that made all sorts of really amazing catches. It was just impressive.
Huh?
Yeah. He's coming out this year. I don't know where he's projected, anything like that, but I'd be excited to see him drafted.
Okay.
He was just a guy that stood out. He just made a lot of plays. All right. Two other guys. I could talk about three other guys. I'll go through them a little more quickly. The two other guys that interested me just a bit were Bailey Zappe from Western Kentucky.
Right.
You know, he moves around pretty good. He's a little bit smaller guy. I mean, these guys are all, except for Carson Strong, he's a big, tall guy. But most of these guys are like in the 6 foot, 6'1" area. Same with this guy. You know, he's not frail. He's built pretty well. He doesn't have an incredible arm. But he's efficient. He just finds the right guy every time, gets the ball there. He's super fluid. He knows when to throw it away. He's very smart. He's super average in arm strength, but, you know, really good pocket presence and good timing with his receivers. He'll hit his checkdowns and all that. If you want him to throw outside the numbers deep and down the field, that really isn't happening. But
catfish!
Damn, he is deadly on seams. He throws the hell out of seams.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, just kills people. Seams and deep overs, like, that's his jam right there. That's where he gets his roll on down the field. This is a guy who's projected to be late draft or an undrafted free agent. I'd love to see him come in and compete. Like, that would be fun. Set a bunch of records. Seems to be a good guy. I would say, to me, he reminded me a lot of Nick Mullins.
Okay.
Like, to play a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. You could probably go out. Is Nick Mullins doing anything right now? Is he on a team?
I don't know. But if he's not, like, I think he was in Philly last I checked. But yeah, exactly. I'd take me a little Nicky Mullins. Why not? Again, I'm just looking to have fun.
He's with the Browns now.
He could be their starter.
You do not love Baker.
he's Mattingly inconsistent, and he just never. I can't stand his footwork. I just there's just so much about Baker's gameplay that, yeah, I'm just out. I'm just out.
So you're gonna tell me about Skylar Thompson next?
Sure.
Let's see the last one.
Another undrafted guy. Him and Brock Purdy out of Iowa State.
You think they're undrafted?
Skylar Thompson's projected to be undrafted.
Oh, okay.
But I wouldn't mind giving up at least a fifth. The guy, he played in Kansas State. I didn't write up anything. This was after I, you know, was kind of done writing on things, but came across his tape and just found myself being kind of impressed. Like, goes through the reads. He's a very safe quarterback. That's the thing about his game. I'd say his biggest minus is he's a little too apt to be a check down Charlie. But he's mobile. He's big. And every so often he'll rip a deep throw and you're just like, oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah,
like,
I saw a couple ripped throws that looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he's got NFL caliber arm strength. It's a little better than a lot of these other guys. And I think
what part of it was is that you were watching him and I watched his arm strength. And then I watched some of these other guys that are projected in the first and second round.
Yeah.
And I was underwhelmed by their arm strength because after watching this.
Oh, yeah, I'd say Malik Willis has a stronger arm than he does. But if it's between him and Kenny Pickett, I would probably take Skylar Thompson in arm strength. It's not by an overwhelming margin, but, you know, slightly better. What he kind of looks like when he's out there playing to me was a Dak Prescott type player. Like, he plays the game in the same way that Dak does. And he looks like him out on the field.
Yeah.
Like, just the way he moves and how he approaches the game. Fairly mobile. He plays off script well. He plays on script well. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He didn't put up big numbers. He's also hurt for the better part of 1 year. Had, you know, shoulder surgery and all that on his throwing shoulder.
Ooh, you nailed shoulder surgery. That's a tough combo to pull off.
Yeah, nailed it. I'm not trying it again. So after his shoulder boo-boo injury fixer, he came back last year and played really well and looked pretty good. I don't know that he's much of a playmaker. He is more so than most of these guys.
Yeah, I talked to EJ about him. He said, because he got to interview him down at the East-West Shrine Bowl in Vegas.
Hell of a dude.
He said he's really interesting. He thought he was more of a gamer, that obviously, and the practice not as great as he was when he was actually out on the field playing. He called him a lesser Minshew. Mm. So maybe Minshew without the fun aspects.
I would disagree.
Yeah, but isn't Minshew more of a chucker?
Oh, yeah. Minshew's he'll just sling it all over the place. Yeah, he's much more careful than Minshew. He's much more careful.
And maybe that's how I took the lesser Minshew part of it.
Right. But to me, as I was watching Skylar Thompson's tape and all that, and it was hard to find, trust me. Like, you can't find this throw by throw of him very easily.
No, it's mostly highlights, which are
mostly
the
highlights, which get you, you know, yeah, obviously unduly excited. Look up
Drew Lock highlights and you'll find a video of a quarterback where you're like, wow, this guy could really play.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, I finally did find some stuff. He'll have one or two decisions a game that you're just like, ooh, that's a terrible throw and usually a pick. So he's got a lot to learn. But if he could kind of eliminate that part from his game, he might be a perfect Pete Carroll quarterback and be a threat in the run game a little bit.
All right.
And he's gone through some in his life. Like, his mom died early on in his life or something like that. And then he's been through some stuff. I remember reading about it. That was tough, man. You know, especially for a young dude and coming back from the injury and all that stuff. People are like, well, he's old. I don't give a crap, man. I'm only using these guys for their first round contract or their rookie contract anyway these days. So if I get rid of him at 31 or 33, what's the difference?
Right. How old is he?
And he's a long shot. He'll be 25.
Oh, yeah, that is old.
Yeah.
It also usually means that there's not much upside beyond of where they're at.
That's one of those things people say.
That's what I mean. Sure. It's
one of those things people say.
It's a common thing that people say.
Yeah. I happen to not be a person of that school of thought.
I mean, you know, it's like any What do you call that? Things that are kind of true, but there's always nuance.
Sure. The exception proves the rule. I mean, it's just that the greatest quarterback of all time blew that out of the water. So I
Kurt Warner?
Yeah. No. Tom Brady. he came out as an older senior. Well, this is his upside. This is all he can ever be. He'll never progress much.
I don't think he was 25 when he came into the league.
23 or 24.
Okay. He was, 23 when he came in the league.
Again, it's just that same narrative that you hear over and over.
Stereotype was the word I was trying to look for.
There it is. There it is. Yeah. I'd be really interested to bring in Skylar Thompson or at least a camp arm, do something. Like, let's just see.
Okay. Yeah. That's the, yeah. And, EJ is going to be publishing that interview on Bootleg Football, so I'm going to watch for that.
Cool. He might have been my favorite fit for the Seahawks in not be giving up anything just to bring in another guy.
If you're giving up a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick, it doesn't matter.
And then there's other guys, but Brock Purdy was one of the last dudes I looked at from Iowa State. He's like a Kyler Murray light. He's really, really quick. See, and this is why like some of the numbers don't line up for me at the combine. He runs a 4.8 40. Watch his tape. Watch his tape. And then go back and watch Carson Strong from Nevada, who also ran, quote, a 4.8 40.
Right.
There's no effing way. There's no effing way. He's that kind of, cat quick kind of guy and can pick up sneaky yards. Actually makes some big throws now and then. He just has inconsistent stretches that are maddening, where you're just like, what? What happened? Like, you look so together and you had it together for two drives, and then it's just totally gone for another half.
I think the only thing that would really matter for me is if you see a quarterback run 4.3, 4.4 to where it would make you want to take another look at him in terms of, I don't know. There's so much more to look at with quarterback. The 40 yard times is. That's not a position that you look at 40s.
Yeah. But if you wanted somebody who played the game the closest to the way that Russ plays the game out of these guys, it'd probably be Purdy. And, talk about poor man's. Like, if Russ is an A, if he reaches his potential, a C-minus version of Russell Wilson.
I'm not interested in that. Why would I want?
Well, these are the guys, dude. I can't go. This isn't Madden. I can't go in and create a quarterback for this draft that we're going to really like. But these are guys that could come in and possibly surprise at camp.
Okay.
And maybe be a preseason favorite and maybe be some fun. I would go for, best fit for the Seahawks. I'd like to see Skylar Thompson, then probably Bailey Zappi, and then probably Purdy. Just because I think the best quarterback in this class, and it's like, the best of what is Pickett. And I wouldn't want to spend an upper second. Like, it would have to be like a lower second round pick. And maybe you can trade back.
Maybe. But with this draft, I feel like if you're looking to get better and you want to build a future team, you spend your first three picks on offensive line, defensive line, and I don't know, maybe whatever one of the guys who's the best at his position that is at the spot that you're picking at.
Yeah. If that, like that, that corner, Sauce, whatever his last name is.
Gardner?
Sure. You get him at 9, take him. You know what I mean? Like, if there's some guy like that, that I would love to see them spend 2 years of draft capital high in the draft, in the trenches, and then, see if you can unearth a guy that can be 70% Russ later on in the draft over the next 2 years, or a free agent that comes available, or a trade that makes itself available. I guess we saw today that Deshaun Watson cleared of criminal charges, still facing all the civil stuff. I will remind everybody that OJ Simpson got off on criminal charges and then got hosed in civil court. I'll let you decide whether or not you think he was guilty.
Are you comparing what Deshaun Watson did to what OJ did?
No, I'm comparing their legal experience. Like, if you
just
follow
want to make sure that's clear.
God, I guess. If you want to have an inside look into our legal system, just look at how somebody who was rich, like OJ, didn't get charged criminally, and then managed to buy his way out of the situation civilly. I have a feeling Deshaun Watson is about to do the same exact thing.
And, you know, it's things like this that it definitely, you figure out what camp you're in. If your team, I want my team to be awesome camp, then sometimes things, you know, outside of football don't matter.
Sure.
And that's the camp
you're in. There's a lot I could tolerate for sure, but, you know, maybe it all goes away for him. Maybe it all goes away for him. And that's a road that the Seahawks look to pursue. I still don't know how I'd handle that.
Well,
because I don't want to quit doing the podcast. I enjoy this. I enjoy watching football.
Look, you don't have to decide right now is the thing.
Yeah. So let's hope that we don't go down that route. We'll see.
I don't have a good transition now.
Oh, well, you know who's not guilty of being lame? All of the little flockers that came in this week.
That's right. We've got our executive producers.
How was that? That wasn't bad.
That was an okay transition.
I didn't say it was acceptable.
From where we're at, that was decent.
Yeah, it was the Kenny Pickett of transitions.
Thanks to our executive producers, DCH, Dustin Mock, Brian Shaw, and Rebecca Christensen. We've got some single donations here. We've got some monthly donations. We've got some raises. Man, the flock, they came out this last week. I don't know what we said, if it was, you know, if we were all just in our feelings together and that made everybody want to come in and come together. And but we got a donation here. Stephen Kirkpatrick came in. He's always he checks in every once in a while, came in with $50.12. So thank you to Stephen.
Dude, appreciate it, man.
Michael Schumacher came in with a $50 donation, says, hey, guys, hang in there. 37 mil per year was a bit much. Russ is no longer a win at all cost player, but I will miss seeing him go to the children's hospital.
I wondered a little bit about that aspect of it. Like, does he just start going to the Denver Children's Hospital now? Did he trade up hospitals too?
I would think that he probably still lives in Seattle in the offseason, right?
You tell me what Russell Wilson's going to do.
Leon Refleur comes in 12-12, says, does it hurt? For sure. But maybe it was just time. We didn't come close to the Super Bowl for years. Russ is aging. He's not taking pay cuts. And his production over the last two seasons has been an issue. Go Hawks.
I mean, those are all points to be made. And yeah, it's going to be interesting because we do get to see it play out over this next season. And you know, if the Broncos have an amazing year and Russ has an amazing year, then I guess we'll all point at the organization and be like, God, we suck.
The thing is that the chances are that could happen at least once over the next 2 years. I feel like the chances of that happening are good.
I don't know that nanobubbles work as good at altitude. So, while high, it could be a tough one.
That's a good point. We do not know nanobubble effectiveness at mile high altitudes.
What I do know surrounding nanobubbles is that the science doesn't really matter. You can just say whatever you think is true. And so I know that nanobubbles do not work as well when you get to at least a mile high or higher.
Did you send Jared the picture of Russell Wilson with the football bread? Have you sent that yet?
I have not yet. I still have 2 years to send all of these little jabs and stuff like that at Jared. You know, like the Russell Wilson with the football.
He's got to save those up.
Yeah, exactly. I can't go through them all right now.
Shane Turner comes in at, well, first Shane came in at $7 Australian a month and then edited it to 84 for the year. So welcome to the flock to Shane.
Appreciate it, man. Maybe those Australian dollars will come in handy.
Hey, any dollar comes in handy.
Well, they might come in more handy than American dollars here shortly. You never know.
Jared Davis came in at $5 a month, said, hey guys, I wanted to show my appreciation for the awesome Seahawks content you've produced over the years. This is the second time now I've joined the flock. I had to take some time away for financial reasons, but now I'm back and I'm super positive about what the future holds for the Seahawks. I know everyone is upset about parting ways with Russ and Bobby, and there may be more changes coming still, but I found myself not quite as devastated as most people. And I think it's because I know John and Pete are not idiots. I find it hard to believe they would blow this team up just to see what happens. They have a plan, and while we don't know yet what it could be, I have a few theories and look forward to hearing your theories over the offseason. My main point I want to get across is that change is hard, but we don't have to fear the unknown. Pete and John got us to a Super Bowl before. They can certainly do it again. Go Hawks and the Rams.
All of the above, man. Hey, look, it's one of those things where some people are higher on Pete and John and some people want him gone. And, you know, there's that whole range in between. I just know that Pete and John weren't competing for a Super Bowl until Russell Wilson showed up. That's the thing that has me a little shook. There's going to be a point when I totally go through and am able to accept this rebuild and get excited about it, the process and all of that. Just not quite there yet.
We may all be on our own timetables on this one.
Oh, for sure. And we can't be mad at anybody who's at different stages of this for the next 2 years. Like, we gotta, as a fan base, we should have a little tolerance for one another.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like some people who are super excited about this draft, they're like all in and hyped up already.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, I'm excited for them. I just wish I had a franchise quarterback instead of hopes for this draft.
Hugh Lloyd came in at $2.50. How do you say two? Is it £2.50? What? Yeah. £2.50 in pounds.
Yeah.
I don't know.
2.5 pounds.
I'm not. I should probably know my. It's just easier when it's a round number.
What do they call cents in England?
Shillings?
I might be right. £2.50.
They might just say £2.50. They might not have the. They might not say shillings. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
You stupid Americans.
My ignorance on your monetary system, unfortunately. You know, you're here for Seahawks stuff, not money conversions. If this was the money conversion podcast, you can hold it against me.
There was a trip there. We camped at a RV park, me and Alec, and we had this gal who was next to us, who is a French Canadian, got really hammered on vodka and hung out with us while we just sat around the fire and drank some beers. And she made the point out, like, constantly, you stupid Americans, you don't know anything about anything. That's all I can think about when every time I'm clueless on some sort of, foreign matter that I should totally know. But since I'm a freaking arrogant American, I don't.
Just got to own it.
Yeah. Stupid Americans.
Hugh comes and says, hi, Brandon and Adam. I've just made the move from dirty freeloader to paying member of the flock after half a season of listening to you guys.
Oh, he's ahead of curve.
Yeah, like Adam, I spend a lot of time on the road driving the length and breadth of the UK. Your shows keep me entertained and helps a UK Seahawker stay in touch with what's going on in the US. I've supported the Hawks since the late 80s when the NFL was shown on UK TV and watched a game between us and the Whiners. I decided I would support whoever won that game. We won, and the rest is history. It was tough at first as the Whiners went on to win multiple Super Bowls with Montana and Young while I languished. But recently, it has been so much better. I had a lucky escape. Can't wait for your off-season content and the new season, even if it is without Russ and Bobby. Thanks for all you do. And
catfish!
The Lambs.
Catfish!
The Whiners.
Catfish!
The Knowles. And most importantly, go Hawks. Best wishes from Hugh.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Hugh. And, that was probably tough right at first, thinking that maybe you made the wrong decision there. It's all worked out in the end.
Thank goodness they beat the Niners in that one game.
Yeah.
Tyler Zerker in at 12-12. Welcome to the flock to Tyler. Sam Somerville also in at 12-12 a month says, wishing good tidings to my fellow Hawkers from the Sunshine State. Sadly, the farthest state in the continental U.S. I can be from my hometown Seahawks. I am a longtime free listener, but today is the day when I will become an even larger supporter of our team. With such an amazing chapter of our distinguished franchise coming to a close, I must support those who are putting the work into spreading the good word of SEA, like Brandon said in the podcast, that will go down in infamy. It's time to focus on the long run. We must think of the good times, but as you gentlemen discussed, we can also look forward to witnessing our team rising from the ashes anew. Though I continue to have faith in Adam's mind as a game tactician, I still don't agree with Adam's idea of reaching for a quarterback in a trade. I feel the 2023 lot of QBs may be more fruitful than this draft. It's a risk, but if we are going to rebuild, let's not worry about the pain we will endure in the short term if we plan to acquire more great memories of victory to come. I will continue to enjoy listening to your thoughts while I bask in this wretched Florida sun, holding on to memories of the PNW. Thank you for all you do. And as always, go Hawks.
Yeah, go Hawks, man. Hey, I appreciate that email. It's awesome that the folks and the little flockers are excited about the offseason content, because I'm excited to take a little more of a dive into this. And since things are a lot more wide open, it gives us a lot more latitude, really, to talk about lots of different things. So that'll be fun. One of those things being, I don't think trading a second for Jordan Love is a reach at all. I think that's a bargain. Now, that's probably because I have a higher evaluation than a lot of folks do Jordan Love. That's okay. That's okay. I just think that's a potential franchise guy for a second round pick that you didn't have anyways.
I have a hard time thinking that the Packers would say no to a second rounder.
Just depends. It just depends if the Colts are really in on this, like you've been hearing. It depends on just what the market is out there. I feel like a high second ought to get it done. That ought to get it done. Honestly, I think a third should get it done, but a high second should pretty
much.
You
gotta overpay for your quarterbacks. That's how it works.
Yeah, and think about it in these terms too. Don't you want the next Matt Hasselbeck? Because it would be the same story.
Chris Haig came in at £9.50. I'm going with that. I've been freeloading for 2 years. I'm sorry, but today is the day. 2 years is the average, Chris. What are you apologizing for?
You're fine. Yeah.
Says today is the day when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Plus, you read out my tweet on the show today, and I'd have to be a real dick to not put my money where my mouth is after that, right? Go Hawks, from Chris.
Yeah. All right. See, I guess all we had to do was just read more tweets.
Dave Jones in at $1 a month says, hey, guys, longtime listener, but new member of the flock via Patreon. I live across the country in Cincinnati, Ohio, and became a Seahawks fan about 5 years ago for a few reasons. One, I liked Russ and several of the other players on the team. Two, the Seahawks were always competitive and fun to watch. Heck, I even thought the uniforms were cool with the blue and neon green. Great combo there. Three, my local team, the Bengals, sucked at the time. We had been through 2 decades of poor teams and complete disappointment, so I needed some positive football vibes in my life. Anyway, I just finished listening to episode 367 and enjoyed it quite a bit. I was wondering what your take would be on losing Russ and Bobby on the same day. Hopefully they can get a decent quarterback soon. Maybe someone young who they can build around. Drew Lock certainly isn't the answer. That dude can't play. Have a good one, fellas. P.S. I'm sticking around, even though the next couple years may be tough. They will turn things around eventually. P.S.S. Unless they sign Deshaun Watson, then I'm out. Got to have some standards.
Understood, man. Understood. Hey, maybe that's what it is here, Brandon, is that these next couple years are going to be hard. So the value of our content then goes up, right? Because we're all going to need like a little extra help getting through these 2 years. And yeah, so as that value goes up, then more people find value into donating to the show. Maybe that's how that goes.
Ian Patterson in at $18 Canadian annual donation. I've been a freeloader for far too long, and it's time for me to pony up, despite living all the way out in Toronto, Canada. I grew up a Seahawks fan, and you guys are by far the best Seahawks podcast out there. I've been a listener for a little while now, and despite the catfish restarts to 2022, us Seahawks fans have had, I always look forward to hearing you guys week in and week out. Keep up the awesome work, and go Hawks.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Go Hawks. All the way over in Toronto. Like, it's basically like being in New York City and being a Seahawks fan.
Yeah. Well, we've got a couple folks from England in. We've got Australia checking in. We've got, gosh, you know, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
All over the place. Florida, which as far as you can get and still be in the U.S. Toronto's probably closer than Florida.
Do we still consider Florida part of the U.S.?
Sure.
Like, if I see one more Florida man headline, like, I think we just got to be like, all right, why don't you guys be your own thing down there? Because you're just a little weird.
I mean, we have to have somewhere to go and party on spring break, right?
Sure. It's called Not Florida.
Jason checking in. He dropped a donation, $5.40, says, hey, fellas, bonus $5.40. And Jason's always dropping us little bonuses here and there.
Yeah, man.
$5.40 in honor of Bobby. Not to nudge your grief process, but in some ways, I think there are things to be excited about right now. Unless they trade some picks and their souls for Watson, then catfish that BS. definitely some strong feelings out there about Watson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And closing things out with Spooty Poo, who gave us a raise from $3 to $12.12 a month.
You know, it really is incredible. And I thank you guys a ton. I know Brandon does too. Because, yeah, this would be a time where you might feel like everybody's going to drop off and it's going to be tough sledding for the pod and all that. And just the opposite has happened. I mean, what a bunch of troopers. The Flockers are tough. They've been through adversity.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know what? It's going to make the Pick'em League a lot more interesting next year, too, because you still have to pick the Seahawks.
And, yeah. Yeah.
So it's going to be a test.
Well, that lets you know a little bit of whether or not you think you got better after Russell Wilson trade initially. Like, pretty much every game you went into with Russ, you could talk yourself into winning that game. It's not that
hard to pick the Seahawks. We have Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Now, it's going to be real tough.
I know. For us to make the case for winning or losing games, it's going to be different.
It's going to be different. And hey, you guys are going to have to get used to us saying we're probably losing this game. I don't plan on lying about the team and being, because people have called us homers for so long,
uh-huh.
or some do. And it's because we legitimately had a shot in all those. Why wouldn't I, be right there with that? I mean, at this point, if you don't legitimately have a shot week in, week out, like, I'm not going to lie about it.
I might.
Are you?
I don't know.
That's fine if you will. I have a hard time
not homing. That's just part of who I am.
And that's fine. That's fine.
I want to believe that we can win every game for always.
Hey, do you think Clipboard Jesus, we can get him out of retirement? Can we get a little white worst in our life?
Why?
Why not? I miss Charlie.
Kaepernick's out there throwing out videos of him working out on the football field.
That's cool.
I mean, they're both in their late 30s. They can come in and compete as old men once up against one another.
Look, man, if Kaepernick hadn't have been out of the league now for, 4 years?
It's probably been 4.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be more excited about the idea of giving him a call and giving him a tryout. But it's just, you get much further out than 2 years away from the game, and that player is not the same player anymore.
Yeah, he's also 36.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I mean, it's one thing of continuing to play. I don't know. Maybe they bring him in, try him out. Who knows?
I mean, if they did, I wouldn't be mad. Why not?
Yeah, it's not like you absolutely know who your option behind center is going to be. So
why not? Give Canales something to work with.
That Soviet spy came in with, what was this, a comment via YouTube? I told you Russia had something to do with this, Adam, with Russell Wilson leaving.
Yeah.
That Soviet spy checks in and says, as a 23-year Broncos fan, y'all are being too harsh on Locke. He gets way too much crap for how little help he's had. Give him 1 year to prove himself, and if he sucks, then you have better draft capital. You guys have 5 first and 5 second round picks in the next 2 years. You can get Mahomes when he requests a trade next year.
In terms of Drew Locke, I mean, so the comment says, well, with all the lack of support that he had, right? And then the narrative is Russell Wilson's going to tear it up because of all the weapons the Broncos have. So which is it? Do the Broncos have weapons or did he have no help?
I feel like he has plenty of weapons. Like that offense is...
Right. So did Drew Locke, who played behind those same players. Now, they all had to survive Pat Shurmur daily. So that's tough, but yeah, it's, forgive me for not getting super excited about Drew Locke. Cause, I think he had every chance to succeed there in Denver short of great offensive coaching.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I don't know if his offensive coaching is going to be any better in Seattle.
Oh yeah. 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 I definitely would take Shane Waldron over top of Pat Shurmur every day of the week.
I don't know. Listening to Greg Olson saying that Pete wanted to run a JV style offense, I guess maybe I'm just caught up in that.
Okay.
Did you see those comments?
I have not.
Maybe we'll bring it up in a future show.
We got lots of offseason.
Got lots of offseason. What do you say we get on to some do better and better at life?
Sure. That's why I had him totally pulled up and ready to go right now.
Totally ready. Well, I will get things kicked off with my do better. I'm going with Calvin Ridley. If there's anyone else who is happy about the Russell Wilson news this past week, it has to be Calvin Ridley and the NFL, because I feel like that was just starting to break early on in the week when then the Aaron Rodgers news came out, the Russell Wilson trade came down, and Calvin Ridley and his betting $1,500 on NFL games in parlays, just it just got to go under the radar. And I guess good for him in the NFL, but it's not going away for Calvin. The funny thing about this, so he bets $1,500, and I don't know if he won. I don't know, with parlays, do you normally win all that much anyway? Unless, I suppose,
oh, if yeah, you win big. You win big
if you get everything right. Parlay. But it's a yeah. tough thing to do is to pick, as we've seen with Pick'em, like to pick yeah. eight games right. It's not easy to do.
Well, even three.
Yeah, it's hard, especially if you're picking spreads and that sort of thing. Then it gets even more difficult. So, and the thing is that usually when you bet money, you're not going to lose more than the amount of money that you're actually betting. If I put $5 into a slot machine and I know if I strike out, I lose the money that I put into the machine. That's it. If I bet $5 that Russell Wilson will be back on the Seahawks to start the 2022 season, I only lose the $5. He, by his own admission, bet $1,500, and now he is losing at least $11 million by sitting out the 2022 season. And, I mean, dude, you know you can't do that. So I can't even feel bad for you. I can't. You got to do better.
You got to do better, man. It was going to be somebody. It was going to be somebody. Once I started opening up the legal gambling sites and all that, there was going to be a player.
Yep.
That got nailed for this. And there might be some other players who are worse offenders.
That just know how to do it better, that they don't just do it on their own phone under their own name.
There's that. And this is about as good as this could go for the NFL. Being able to look at Calvin Ridley and being like, you bet $1,500 on football. And we're going to make an example out of you so nobody else does this. And, you know, he's a star, but not really a star, right? I mean, down in Atlanta.
And he was injured, so he wasn't actually even playing that week. So it.
Exactly. The dollar amount isn't that high. It doesn't call into question the integrity of the league, but they still get to send their message.
Right.
So I think in some ways, Calvin Ridley might end up being the fall guy for some other people who were maybe, you know, partaking in the betting aspect of things. They're going to make him a poster boy and an example and scare the living crap out of anybody else from.
Yeah.
And sucks for him. But thing is that you should have known that going in. This was out of all the things that you could do.
It's not like you get into the league and you don't know that you can't do that.
Oh, exactly. I mean, out of all the things that you're going to do knowingly to, you know, whether it's PDs or whatever it is, right? This is the one you don't touch. You don't want to be the Pete Rose of football.
No. Bet on the NBA. Bet on, I don't know, some literally overseas anything sports.
Else. College football.
Horse racing. You have all the options.
Yeah.
Not the game that you play in.
Even if you're not playing, really what difference does it make? But the NFL can't start getting into those gray areas. It's got to be all no. All right, man. My better life this week. NFL.com. This article I saved not but about 6-7 days ago, Brandon, because it was entitled Commanders Offered Multiple First Round Picks for Russell Wilson. Seahawks declined. Well, catfish! Duh, they declined. They're not trading Russell Wilson anywhere. They're definitely not to the Commander. He's good. My do better this week is for me, because I was dead certain, man. Dead certain. And was so mad at every article that came out. And here we are. But at least I was right that he wouldn't go to any of the NFC's teams. But
although I kind of would have been okay with him going to the Commanders after what we got from the Broncos,
I guess. So anyways, it's a bummer. I didn't do very good. I need to do better.
There's a lot of that going around after this. You know what? And yeah, I guess the National guys, they got over on this one. On us.
They did. They're 1 for 70. Good job.
Well, my better at life.
So I guess I guess we probably have the same better at life.
Yeah, I think we do have the same better at life.
Yeah. It could only be one man.
It's got to be for Bobby freaking Wagner.
Of course. Exactly. 100%.
Man, I am going to miss Bobby so much.
Big time, man.
That's the thing. I didn't want to say goodbye to him on the last show. And now I feel like that it's been a couple days.
Listening to your Boys to Men song a few times.
Yeah. You know, cycling through End of the Road to Thank You to Motown Philly. I don't know how that relates to this this particular thing, but Motown Philly is just a good Boys to Men song.
Okay. Yeah. But no, I'm talking about the one sad breakup song that you just drove around the block for like an hour just listening to on repeat.
Right.
Yeah. Because you get to go home and face your family and let them know that an all-time great football player, an all-time great Seahawk in Bobby Wagner was no longer a Seahawk. And it's just tough to, it's still tough to
play. Multi-time All-Pro, a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah, we got to wait a few years. You know what? That maybe Bobby Wagner may be the guy that I finally take the trip to Canton for to see go in live and in person.
Ooh, I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a hard one to get behind, that's for sure. I mean, he obviously a Ring of Honor guy, in your all-time pantheon of Seahawks, I mean, gotta be top five?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Just saying, Cortez, Walter Jones.
Largent,
Russ, and Bobby.
That's probably your top five.
Yeah, it's just tough, man. It's just tough. One of the all-time great Seahawks, one of the all-time great dudes off the field. I love the way that he, this last year, decided to take over the press conferences and be like, okay, we're going to talk about some issues I want to talk about. And just grow and evolve as a person. We watched him grow up in front of our eyes in a lot of ways. And he's not done either. That's the thing. Like, he's got a lot of good football left in him.
He might still have 2 years at least. I mean, 2 years of good football.
Yeah, I think for sure.
Not ready to say goodbye to him, but I think it's time.
Yeah.
Bobby Wagner, better at life than Skip Bayless.
And it's fitting because he's the last of the LOB era defenders. Obviously, the better at life than Skip Bayless thing came out of the Richard Sherman part of that.
Yeah.
Wanted that to be uplifting, but it just really isn't.
there's going to be moments like this throughout the offseason.
Yeah. So or throughout these next two seasons, how many times on this podcast are either one of us going to start talking about whatever it is they're talking about? And like, well, we used to have, obviously, and we'll just trail off and kind of just stare at the ceiling and think about yesteryear.
Just break out into some Boys to Men song out of nowhere.
Yeah, I don't think it can be just any Boys to Men song. It has to be that one.
Motown Philly back again. Do, 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 no. Do, 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 do.
No, that's not the one.
Not that one.
No, you got married very early and didn't have to go through many breakups. So I don't think you understand how breakups work.
And with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.